But I want to begin this message, by pointing out something that happened, quite a few years ago, but this thing that happened is still resonating in the life of especially Christians to this day. See, not so long ago, maybe 10, 12 years ago, there was a pastor of a very large church that was caught in a scandal that included sexual immorality, it included drug use, and it included lying. Now, this church was a big church. It had a weekly attendance of over 8,000 people. And the pastor, he was married with five children. And this church was most influential, through the mountain states. I mean, and probably if I were to say this pastor's name, you would know it, but I'm not going to say it. He was also a well-respected author and president of the National Association of Evangelicals. And then following the initial news of this scandal, this pastor made a statement to the press stating that this is a private matter that involved his family and it was nobody else's business but their own. And I'm wondering today if you agree with that statement. Because if you do not agree with that statement, you're actually in the minority in today's society. You see, most Americans are more than willing to separate job performance from personal integrity. But is it then really nobody's business? Did his actions only affect him and his family? Well, I try to answer that a little bit by presenting a few facts, if you will. Well, since the scandal, the liberal media had a heyday with articles portraying Christians as hypocrites. Since the scandal, the media had a heyday portraying you and me as hypocrites. The church membership dropped off 20%. And giving took a nosedive as well. This church, I said, had 8,000 members, it had 8,000 in attendance, but it had over 25,000 members. As a matter of fact, their worship center had 4,000 more seats than the World Arena did in the city of Colorado Springs. This once influential church that was adjacent to the Air Force Academy is struggling to this very day to recover from this scandal all those years ago. So I think if we just look at it that way, it's clear that the pastor's actions affected not just him and his family, but many, many people. But there's an unfortunate thing that I want to communicate to you today is that our society has really bought into this idea of resolute individualism, reflected in the statement that, hey, that's none of your business, or that's nobody's business but our own. You see, we seem to be more than just anxious to believe that our actions and our attitudes only impact us and really affect nobody else. last week when we left Joshua and the Israelites, they were preparing to move against the city of Jericho, which they did, right, with great success. And before they went in and took over the city, however, the Lord, he had given some very specific instructions about what they were to do and what they were not to do, what they could have and what they could not have. And they really had a lot to do with the plunder of that city. Specifically, the Lord instructed the Israelites to stay away from devoted things. And these devoted things were, instruments or things of value that were dedicated to the worship of their gods or other gods. God then told them, okay, you take these things, your Asherah poles and golden idols and things like that, and you burn them, you dedicate them to God, and not take anything for your own private use. And, those instructions right beside pretty simple, don't they? Just say everything. either goes into the fire or into the Lord's treasury. Everything either goes into the fire or the Lord's treasury. Well, the nation of Israel went in after the walls of Jericho collapsed, and they had victory, you know, great victory in their conquest of the city, and everything looked good, and the plan that God had laid out before them was unfolding. And the last thing we hear in chapter 6 is the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Man, that would be pretty cool to hear about yourself, wouldn't it? The Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. There's always a yeah, but. There's always a yeah, but. The very next verse, things change and change a lot. Here's what we read in the very next verse, the first verse of chapter 7. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully, and the Lord's anger burned against them. From that house to the outhouse in one sentence, right? He's got big difference. That's bad news. But even worse, Joshua didn't know anything about it. The reader, right, didn't know anything about what was going on, man, because he was off planning the next campaign. The first one went really well. Let's get on to the next one. Let's go to the city of Ai, right, and see what God will do there. So Joshua and his officials were really feeling good about things, and so they sent out some spies to check on Ai, and the report on that was positive. No need to send the whole army. They said, just send a few, thousand up there. You'll be able to mop things up in no time flat. So Josh wanted to be sure. So, you know, he sent three, you know, and they just got 3,000, and they just got with. They beat a retreat in process, right? They lost 36 of their own on the hillsides, side by. I think that did Joshua and the nation of Israel. And it deflated them, sent them into a tailspin. You know what? They were in despair. And the elders, they were tearing their clothes as a sign of grief, and they poured dust on their head as a sign of mourning, and they cried out to the God, why did you let this happen? It's your fault, God. Boy, it sounds like you and me today, doesn't it? Well, I love God's response to Joshua. Look at what he says. He says, stand up. Why are you down there on your face? In other words, he's saying, man up, knock it off, Joshua. This hasn't happened because of something I did or because I left you. This happened because you and your people have sinned. And if you want things to get any better, you better figure it out. You better get to the bottom of it. And until you do, Joshua, you'll never, ever be able to stand against your enemies. You'll never, ever take possession of the land that I promised to give to your fathers. So Joshua, he went through the whole nation of Israel, tearing down the people, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, until we finally came down to the family of Achan, son of Zimri. Now, the tension there had to be pretty high because the penalty, right, had already been announced, right? Everybody loved that, I think. They found out the people who were responsible for breaking God's command and bringing disgrace upon Israel, that people, that family would be put to death along with everything that belonged to them. And it all come down to one guy named Achan. And he stood before Joshua and confessed that, yeah, I did it. I saw those beautiful things that the citizens of Jericho had, and I coveted them for myself, and I kept some of them, and I hid them in the ground inside of my tent. So Joshua sent some people to check it out, and sure enough, when they came back from going through Achan's tent, they discovered forbidden and devoted things. there before Achan and the whole nation of Israel that spread out the Yogat and gained, plus all of Achan's personal possessions, including his father, his mother, his wife, and his children. And the Bible says all of Israel stoned him and his family, and they burned up everything that belonged to Achan and covered it with knots. Nobody's business but our own. But man, the sin of one man had profoundly impacted the whole nation of Israel. A family was lost. A nation was defeated in battle because of the disobedience of one man. And it's nobody's business but our own. Really? I know something. I know that if this happened in our time, we would say something like, hey, Achan did wrong, but you know, that's between him and God. That doesn't really have anything to do with us. And we don't want to be judgmental after all. And it's not really our problem. Achan just has to answer to God and to God alone. And if we're honest, isn't that really what we would say today? Did you hear what the Lord said? He said, Achan is the one who disobeyed here. But the Lord said, Israel had sinned. Did you notice there in the very first chapter, the first part of that chapter, when the writer tells what Achan did, he names his family for four generations. Four generations. The entire tribe of which he was a part of. Nobody's business but Achan's. You see, these people back then understood that when there was sin in the life of one of their members, it impacts everybody. They understood that it must be dealt with decisively and seriously. Now, I understand today that you and I probably struggle greatly with the severity of the punishment and struggle to understand the wrath of God. Perhaps we don't understand God's wrath because sin just doesn't really seem to bother us anymore. Perhaps we're unwilling as a people to hold each other to higher standards. Simply because we're unwilling, now listen to this, to hold ourselves to those standards. You see, I believe this, is that we got to cast off the lie of our culture that would say, my personal integrity is nobody's business but mine. Well, I'm going to tell you guys something. Naked you are born into this world. And you will leave with only one thing, and that's your integrity. Everything else that you accumulate along the way will be cast aside, given away, or burned up into the fire. But the only thing that really will belong to you is your integrity. So when we say my personal integrity is nobody's business but mine, I'm going to say wrong. Now, the specific dealings with this kind of sin have certainly changed under the new covenant made possible through Christ Jesus. I agree with that. That's definitely true. And I say thanks be to God over that. But the principle here still remains the same. The Lord makes it clear in His Word that none of us is an island. That there is no such thing as my private business. I mean, just go on Facebook. We just put it out there for everybody to see now anyway. But the choices that you make, the choices that I make, and the way that you live your life, and the way that I live my life does matter, and it does impact most people around us. See, when we are members, loved ones, of the kingdom of God, we must live with the understanding that we are connected to one another, and our lives do affect our brothers and our sisters in Christ. In the kingdom of God, you never, ever act as a private citizen. You know what? We belong to each other, loved ones. You belong to me, and I belong to you, and we all belong to Christ Jesus. But can we agree on it? Paul says this in Romans, that we are members of one another. We are members of one another. And what in the world makes us think Israel was the only congregation who has been or is under the wrath of God because of disobedience of their members? The Church of Jesus Christ should tremble before this truth. It's the easiest thing in the world to point a finger at that New Life pastor. And it's easy to say he deserves strict accountability and he should receive strict accountability for his actions. But friends, how does this principle apply to us? Could it be then that the apparent lack of God's power and presence in parts of His church is because we are unwilling to purge sin from our midst? Here I go farther to say that if you claim the name of Jesus Christ and yet willingly live your life in disobedience to His way and to His word, then you are damaging the spiritual health of the entire congregation. If we're harboring sin in our lives, believing it's nobody's business but ours, in fact, we are quenching the Spirit of God in our midst. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says this anyway, you know, your sin will find you out. It will. Really no such thing as it's nobody's business but my own. The judgment of God no longer, and I say thank God for this, no longer comes upon us in stoning and burning fire. But I want you to consider this. The judgment of God comes upon us in our utter powerlessness to impact the world with the message of holiness under the Lord. Our words become meaningless, powerless, affecting less and less. Say this to your loved ones, I do love you with all my heart. And what you do, and what I do, how you live, how I live, impacts the world around us. You know, think about this. How many people carry wounds, both physical and spiritual, because of the sinful choices of one person? How many families have been torn asunder because of the sinful choices of one person? How many churches have been set back on their heels because of the sinful choices of one person? How many churches have been torn down because of the sinful choices of a leader? I want you to know something. It matters to me whether or not you live a life worthy of your calling in Jesus Christ. It matters to me. I care for you. And my guess is, it matters to you whether or not I live a life of obedience. You see, such as surely as Achan's selfish action impacted the whole nation of Israel, so the quality of your life has an effect on the whole church family. The quality of your life has effect on me. The quality of your life has effect on my wife. The quality of our life has an effect on you. This morning, I'll tell you what, I just urge you guys something. Urge something with you guys. I want you to put away the lie of individualism. Okay? I want you to put that down. I want you to put it away. And I want you to stand up to your responsibility in the body of Christ. And this is it. Now listen to this. Be holy because the Lord your God is holy. That's your responsibility to life in the church. And here's what I want. I want His grace to be poured out upon you to live a life of love and to live a life of purity. And I want you to be able to count on me to be a man of integrity. I want to be able to count on you to be men and women of integrity. Is it nobody's business?